This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. The death toll from COVID-19 continues to rise every day, especially with the spread of the Delta variant in the community now. And in Malaysia, it's been reported that 7 in 10 people who succumbed to COVID-19 had diabetes. And we do know that people with comorbidities are at higher risk of severe COVID-19 and, of course, death. But what exactly is the link between diabetes and COVID-19? So today, I want to find out from consultant endocrinologist Dr. Miza Hirianti Zakaria, and we hope to discuss what people with diabetes need to know about staying safe from COVID-19. But, you know, also because numbers are so high in the community today, what do they need to know if they test positive for COVID-19? What do they need to do? And what do they need to bear in mind as well before they go for their COVID-19 vaccination? Is it safe for them? So all these questions coming up in our discussion with Dr. Miza. How are you today, Dr. Miza?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you, Shel.
Thank you for sharing your time with us. A very important topic. You know, diabetes, that's your forte. That's what you see day in and day out. And that's what we talk about. Before COVID-19, we talked so much about the non-communicable diseases, the NCDs, that are a huge problem in Malaysia. Diabetes is something that, unfortunately, we have very high numbers of as well. So perhaps you want to give us a reminder of the burden of diabetes in Malaysia. How poorly are we doing compared with other countries in our neighboring region, for instance?
Yeah. If you're talking about COVID-19 as a pandemic, diabetes is actually a longer pandemic that people usually ignore it. So when we're talking about diabetes as a pandemic disease, it's all over the world. Sadly to say, we are the champion, you see, as far as the percentage or proportion of Malaysian having diabetes. So 1 in 5 Malaysian are actually having diabetes. So it's amounted up to about 3.9 million Malaysian are diabetes. The scary part of it, only half of them know that you are diabetes. For all you know, you and me, we might have diabetes. The last time I checked for my diabetes was about 6 months back. Mm-hmm. So this is a very worrying thoughts for me as a diabetologist. So if you compare ourselves with our neighboring countries, so if you want the numbers, from our recent Malaysian survey, we have around 18.3% of Malaysian having diabetes. We are the champion in Asia. Compared to Indonesian, okay, we can see that a lot more people in Indonesian are diabetes. But if we look at the proportion, they are only at 6.3%. Mm. We are 18.3%. They are 6.3%. Thailand, 7%. Philippines, 7%. And our brother and sisters in Singapore, only 5.5% of their population is diabetic. So it's a huge burden. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but that's the reality.
This is not an area we want to be a champion in. We want to be a champion in Olympics and all those things.
Yes,
but why are we doing so badly, Dr. Miza?
Yeah, again, we are actually sort of like the lifestyle of our population. And the second thing that the bad news that I want to tell you is actually we are the fattest nation in Asia. Mm-hmm. Half of our Malaysian population are at least overweight or obese. Can you imagine that? These are what driven diabetic. These are the risk factor for diabetes. And furthermore, because of this obesity, we have hypertension. And only about 25% of our population are also inactive. These are the main driven thing about why diabetes is in the rise in Malaysia and all over the world.
So we have been dealing with this pandemic of diabetes and the other related conditions, hypertension, obesity, yeah, heart disease. And alongside that, you know, came along COVID-19. So we have heard reports that people with diabetes are at higher risk of developing severe COVID and the complications related to severe COVID. So do you want to give us a picture of exactly what do we know about the link between diabetes and COVID?
All right. First, I want to give you the numbers. Since you're talking about kidney disease, heart disease, half of our diabetic patients, 50% already have heart disease or high risk of heart disease. 40% of our diabetic patients already have CKD. So we are looking at a diabetic with a complication already in the baseline. Mm. And when now we have COVID came into equation. So we found that, like you said before, 7 out of 10 COVID patients are diabetic. And if you see this diabetic patient who had COVID, they tend to have more severe disease. They tend to be hospitalized. Okay, you can see that in the media, most of them are Cat 1 or Cat 2. I mean, like the whole Malaysian who had contracted COVID-19. But if they are diabetes, these are the people who actually will feel in the hospital. They will get, they also feel in the ICU bed. That's because the pathophysiology of diabetes itself make them prone or vulnerable to have this severe COVID-19 disease. So what happened in diabetes? We have this impaired immune system. You know, what happened when infection actually attack our body will produce antibody. We will produce proteins to fight off, to combat off, neutralize, block all these viruses, fungal or infection. What happened in our body, normally this mechanism, antibody production and all stops when the infection, we actually start to win the battle. But in diabetes, what happened was this stay longer, prolong. So instead of attacking the viruses and bacteria, the antibody is attacking ourselves in a small proportion of time. So all this thing is actually ongoing. So now we have COVID-19. COVID-19 will kick in, and all this antibody that are supposed to actually kill the COVID is also will be killing our body. So that's why diabetic patients fare worse compared to other people.
So you brought up the numbers of COVID-19 positive cases. And, you know, we see the numbers reported by the Ministry of Health where we see it mostly in Category 1 and 2. And that can be misleading because if they have underlying conditions like diabetes and most likely half of them have heart disease or kidney problems as well, that means they will very quickly progress on to Category 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, they did. And then I am actually also covering the COVID ward. Can you imagine seeing the patient who actually came for follow-up about months before, they are quite well. Now they're being intubated. And then it would be like, when I saw them, probably they were saying to me, very sad thing. Doctor, this is probably the last time I'll be seeing you today. So in a few hours, they'll get deteriorated. So the diabetic is the vulnerable group that we need to protect because all these comorbidities associated with the diabetes. So when people ask me who's the most important people to protect, I would say my patient, the diabetic, because they are the people who actually suffer the worst, fare the worst.
I want to ask for some distinctions. So, number one, does it matter whether it's type 1 or type 2 diabetes?
Okay. There are actually studies looking at, though it's limited, they found that whether you are type 1 or type 2, your risk of developing severe disease is the same. 3 to 4-fold. If you're asking them about the number, both have 3 to 4-fold increase of risk of hospitalization, increased risk of having severe COVID, increased risk of dying. So whether you are type 1 or type 2, your risk is actually the same. What matters is actually whether you are controlled or not.
Okay, so talk a little bit more about that. What difference does it make whether your glucose levels were well controlled before or not?
All right. We actually have data on that. Zhu Lihua, from actually a group of doctors in Hubei, China, they look at about 1,000 of diabetic patients, and they found that those people who has good control in their study is around 4 to 10 millimole if you're looking at the blood sugar, and compared to those who have more than 10 millimole per liter blood sugar, they found that those who has a good control blood sugar fare better. Less mortality, less risk of dying, less hospitalization. So it's a good news. Get your sugar to control. Inshallah, probably the outcome will become better.
Is that what you're seeing in among your patients as well?
Yeah. Those people, sadly to see, Shao, I'm actually taking care of those patients who have uncontrolled diabetes. The good one will go to other doctors. But of those who badly control, the more badly controlled fare worse compared to badly controlled but still better control. So for all the diabetic patients out there, it doesn't matter. Don't worry if you have your HbA1c in the teens. You try to control it. Better control is always much, much better outcome, will lead to better outcome compared to the worst control. It doesn't matter what your number is. Get it to control.
And does it matter whether you are a younger or older person with diabetes?
All right. Of course, the younger people with diabetes has more comorbids. They have more complication. They have more target organ damage. So if you have more complication, of course, it will go right up to you will going to have a worse outcome, whether in COVID or even in anything else. So, but we also have patients, old patients without comorbids, and they have good control, and we compare to those younger patients with worse control. So the younger patient will be worse off if they are not controlled. So the key point is actually better control of diabetes.
All right. I'm speaking to Dr. Miza Hirianti Zakaria, consultant endocrinologist, about the link between diabetes and COVID-19, two pandemics that are really occurring alongside and both have bad news for each other. If you have diabetes, especially poorly controlled diabetes, you are at far higher risk of faring very poorly if you contract COVID-19. More coming up with Dr. Miza when we come back. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Shao-Ik. My guest today is consultant endocrinologist Dr. Miza Hirianti Zakaria, who's been painting a very realistic picture of what happens when someone with poorly controlled diabetes contracts COVID-19. If you have poorly controlled diabetes, you would be possibly 3 to 4 times at higher risk of developing severe COVID, with the risk of going into hospital, requiring critical care, and of course, your risk of dying from COVID-19 increases as well. And you are seeing with your own eyes, aren't you, Dr. Miza? Yes. You deal with patients who have trouble controlling their diabetes, and it must be difficult for you to see when they get COVID-19 and how quickly they progress.
How, when you're talking about how quickly, it's also depending on patient. But once they are admitted to hospital, mostly they are in category 4. If you're looking in those who admitted to hospital, category 4, they need oxygen. They have infection in their lungs. So, and we are seeing once they are on oxygen, the pace of deterioration will be fast. But we doctors will be doing all our might. We will give oxygen, we'll give them steroid and other medication to stop the disease from progressing. So I'm not saying that it's a death toll if you are being admitted when you have diabetes. But what we can say that sometimes the damage has already been done. So when they are coming in, they are already in a bad stage. So having all this other complication, that's actually pushed them further. So for me, Shao, the most important thing is initially when they are at CAT 1. So they really need to take good care of, of themselves. I've been seeing patients, type 1 diabetes, young, that person has some degree of kidney disease, but at CAT 1, she's taking care of her blood sugar. Well, she never progresses to even 2 or 3. She is well. So the good news is we're talking about proportion of patient, but inshallah, if you're taking good care of yourself, you are adhering to the SOP, you're taking the medication, the insulin injection, they can be good, better. I don't want to talk about all these gloomy things in the gloomy period of time, because there are patients that survive and doesn't progress to CAT 4 or CAT 5. Mm. So don't worry about that.
Mm, with good control. Mm. You did say earlier, just control your blood glucose. Don't worry too much about HbA1c. So does that mean that, right now, for people listening who have diabetes, just start controlling right now and it will make a difference?
Yeah. HbA1c is important, but I don't want them to be stressed out, depressed because of the bad HbA1c, because only 20%, 30% of our population are in control. So what matters is now, get the sugar to control.
All right. Now, we've been talking about diabetes and its complications, increasing the risk of severe COVID. What about the flip side? Could COVID-19 contribute to diabetes-related complications?
All right. There are actually studies looking at it. It's still in hypothesis and also postulation. There is a possibility that COVID-19 affects the pancreas. The pancreas is an organ that produces insulin. This is still in the study, still postulation hypothesis. They found that when the COVID-19 attack the pancreas, attack the cell that produce insulin, so you have less insulin to be used to reduce your blood sugar. Probably it has some effect. And now we are also seeing the patient who, after being contracted with COVID-19, they actually walk out from the ward. And then later on, we found that they have diabetes. But we are not sure whether these are, remember, the 50% of diabetic who doesn't know that they have diabetes, but now the diabetes start coming up. Or is it because of the COVID-19 itself?
Oh,
we never know about that.
That would be terrifying.
But for me, we have all this, like half of our population doesn't know that we really have diabetes. Mm. So that's the problem.
Actually, I know you don't want to be gloomy, Dr. Miza, but yes, we also have a shocking number of brought in deaths every day.
Yeah.
Could some of them be that 50% who didn't know they had diabetes and therefore they succumbed quickly?
Probably shall. Actually, now, because we are reporting more brought in date. If you're talking about brought in date, it occurs every day, even before COVID. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, if you look at the brought in date, these are the people that we can't do postmortem to everybody. But if I'm looking at my own experience, they are obese, on overweight side. Probably they already have diabetes. So the brought in date, in my experience, this is the data that I actually see. I found that a lot of these patients are also probably has diabetes.
Mm.
So we are seeing obese patients, young patients who found dead at home.
Mm.
This is very worrying. So if you have risk factor, because diabetes is actually not only a environmental disease, it's also sort of like genetic. Being Asian ourselves is already a risk factor for diabetes. So this if your family members has diabetes, or if you're obese or overweight, remember 50% of us is actually obese, or probably we have diabetes. So we need to check. We need to screen ourselves. That's why I would like to, about this For My Sweetheart campaign. It's a nationwide campaign. It's actually a campaign organized by Malaysian Endocrine and Metabolic Society and also Malaysian Diabetic Educator Society. They have this free diabetes screening.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to advocate everybody who think that they are probably diabetes. Remember, Southeast Asian origin, already a risk factor for diabetes. If you're overweight, please screen for diabetes.
Mm, it's a very simple finger prick blood
test,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's very simple. And another gloomy fact, if now I prick myself and I check myself if I have diabetes, most likely, if it's type 2, I've already have the disease 6 to 10 years before.
6 to 10 years?
Yes. At the time you are diagnosed, you most likely have that disease 6 to 10 years before. So imagine the damage that already been done to your body. So now you are seeing, okay, newly diagnosed diabetes only 1 year and they get heart attack. It's not that that 1 year, we're talking about like that retrospectively 10 years ago that people might have diabetes. So please, everybody, please check whether you're diabetic or not.
And, you know, regardless of age, right, you can still, even a young person should be checking and screening regularly.
Yes, if they have risk factor.
Okay. All right. Now let's move on to, you know, some practical information for people with diabetes. If they test positive for COVID-19, and we do know that because of the burden on the COVID assessment centers and the hospitals and the quarantine centers, a number of people, you know, for us here in Klang Valley, especially, we're being told to isolate at home, if you're in category 1 and 2. So what do people with diabetes need to keep in mind if they're self-isolating at home?
All right. First of all, usually they need to adhere to the advices giving, the SOP giving when they are being home isolation. It's actually available in the media even. So, and even the PKDs, the health site, will also give them the My Sejahtera. They need to update. But pertaining to diabetes specifically, if you are asymptomatic, it's quite okay. But in COVID-19, some people tend to develop some symptoms, category 2. They're probably having fever, they're not feeling well. This is the time that they need to make sure that the blood sugar is controlled. So meaning to say, if their blood sugar is controlled before, when they are ill, what happens is the blood sugar tend to rise. The patient going to get hyperglycemia because fever, feeling unwell is stress condition. So your hormones will come out, your blood sugar to fight whatever comes in. So the blood sugar will be on the higher side. So they need to monitor the blood sugar regularly. Sometimes because of the fever, they have nausea, they have vomiting, they are not taking orally much, but they are still taking their medication. Sometimes they also have problem with hypoglycemia. The only way to combat this is actually to monitor the blood sugar. It has to be regular. And all diabetic patients has been educated about hyperglycemic emergency, especially the type 1. They're going to have this, what we call diabetic ketoacidosis. When the blood sugar is too high in your body will accumulate this acid, ketone acid. So they also need to monitor their ketone. And after monitoring, they have to know when to intervene. They have to know when to go to ask for help. They have to keep the numbers, the appropriate numbers, the contact numbers, the healthcare provider, even the CAC center's numbers, or even tell their family members that they are not feeling well. Sometimes in a family, only one got isolated, you know, the other person is negative. The family members need to ask about the patient, whether they are actually ill or not, take note about the blood sugar. And then there are actually other things that they need to also prepare. Usually, if you are diabetic, hopefully everybody would have a sick day plan, planned by their diabetic educator or doctors. So sick day plan is individualized in the sense that how to actually increase their insulin, how to modify their medication. There are certain drugs that are not suitable if they are not taking orally well. So these things are already will be explained by their doctors. But generally, in diabetes, they need to drink a lot of water. Sometimes, if even you are run out of medication, but just by drinking a lot of plain water, your blood sugar will reduce because this so-called diluting up the blood sugar in your body. And then you, if you have a lot of water, you can flush out more sugar in the urine. So the blood sugar in the body won't be normalized, but it will help out with the patient.
But that's just a stopgap, right? People shouldn't be doing that and skipping their medication.
Yes, the medication is important. They need to actually check whether it's expired or not.
Mm-hmm.
They need to stock up enough medication. They even need to do the pill counting. They need to estimate, the duration that they are staying in. They need to estimate whether it's enough or not. Their family members need to actually ask them whether there is enough medication in the storage or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of patients who actually, because these are PKPD, they cannot go out, they run out of medication. Nobody wanted to actually take the medication for them. That's why they come in a worse condition. So they need to ask for help. It's very important. The family members should join in. I always say to my patient, if one family member has diabetes, the whole family are diabetic. As far as I'm concerned, the risk factor is there. So everybody should know about the medication that the family member are taking. They should be able to actually help them out, especially those with insulin. So, and then they should know when to ask for help.
Speaking of when to ask for help, what are some red flags that would necessitate immediately calling emergency?
Yeah, for diabetic, for me, if they are not taking orally, they cannot keep down their food, they cannot keep down the medication, that is the time to go to a hospital. Mm-hmm. No need to wait until you have shortness of breath, chest pain, abdominal pain. That is already a red flag. When you have shortness of breath, it's even worse. When you have abdominal pain, it's even worse. So do not wait until you are too ill, you can't wake up from your bed to ask for help.
So when they cannot keep down, is it nausea? Are they throwing it up?
Is it nausea, throwing out, vomiting? Or sometimes, our patient, the pills that they have to take, it's like, for me, I can't even take paracetamol. Imagine like 10 tablets. If you can't take the tablets, even though they're not nauseated, these are the time to call for help.
Mm.
They need to get admitted.
Okay.
They need to get insulin in.
All right.
Especially if the blood sugar is high.
Okay. All right. And for those going to, if they have to be quarantined in a quarantine center, obviously sufficient medication, like you said, is an important thing. Anything else for them to keep in mind?
Now, sometimes in quarantine center, sometimes the staff is overwhelmed. They can't actually, they will make sure you have medication, but you yourself has to have this feeling of you need attention. If you don't, sometimes what happens is the medication, like you thrown out your medication in the dustbin. You need to tell them, do not be afraid. Some of our Malaysians are very nice. They don't want to trouble people. So please call for help. And there are doctors there. Do not be afraid to trouble your doctors. I know Malaysians are very nice. They don't want to travel the frontliner. But if you are getting worse, it's even worse for us.
Mm.
So ask early.
Okay. All right. We'll go for another quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about vaccination for people with diabetes, COVID-19 vaccination. I'm speaking to Dr. Miza Hirianti Zakaria, consultant endocrinologist. We're discussing the link between diabetes and COVID-19. Very, very important considering 1 in 5 Malaysians have diabetes. Half do not know that they have diabetes. And COVID-19 is spreading in the community. So something for everyone to take note. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyi, and my guest, Dr. Miza Hirianti Zakaria, consultant endocrinologist. We've been discussing the link between diabetes and COVID-19. So we've covered the increasing burden of diabetes. You know, it's an epidemic that has been among us for far longer than even COVID-19. And it's adding to the burden of COVID-19 right now because people with poorly controlled diabetes. Now, Dr. Miza has been very careful to say it is if your control of diabetes, your control of blood glucose is poor, you are at higher risk of severe COVID-19. If you do manage your diabetes well, it is actually good news. And, you can manage your COVID-19 well as well. Now, let's talk about COVID-19 vaccination, Dr. Meeza, it is such a key strategy in fighting the pandemic. A lot of people have been registering and going for the vaccination. But for people with diabetes, is the vaccination safe for them?
All right. So overall, vaccination is safe, even for diabetic, even those people with complication, even those people with kidney disease and heart disease, because in the study, when they did study for COVID, when they produced the COVID vaccine, they include all these vulnerable patients, the diabetic, those people with heart disease, those people with kidney disease. So before they come out to us, they're already being tested. So overall, they're quite safe. Not quite safe, sorry, Shel, they are very safe. In where I practice, when the first vaccination came to Malaysia, I fight. I make sure 100% of my patients being vaccinated. So I fight. All my diabetic patients should get vaccinated. I wouldn't advocate if I don't think that they are safe. When we go back to all the data, they are very safe. The side effect is very rare and is very low. The benefit outweigh the risk.
We know that the vaccine has side effects even for the general population. But when it comes to people with diabetes, are there specific side effects that have been reported?
So far, Shel, I'm not aware of any specific as far as side effect is concerned with diabetes. And we've been vaccinating our patients. So far, none of them has that very rare complication that being actually printed out in the news and everything. So far, there's nothing pertaining to diabetes.
Because we do know that AstraZeneca vaccine has a very, very rare, like you said, very rare risk of blood clots developing. And I was wondering whether people with diabetes are particularly vulnerable, perhaps?
Okay, when you are saying about AstraZeneca blood clot, if you look at the literature, depending on which paper that we are quoting, some quote the event is about 2.3 event in 1 million. Some 12 event, the highest is 12 event in 1 million. This very rare blood clot condition. And we look at the general population. I'm sorry, I have to talk about numbers. So because we are talking about very rare, I wanted to compare with the general blood clot event. If you're looking about this cavernous sinus thrombosis that usually associated with AstraZeneca blood clot, even without vaccine, you're going to have about 5 in 1 million population. And this blood clot problem is also prevalent in COVID-19 patients. Now, remember the number 2.36, 12 that I said before. If you have COVID-19, in 1 million of COVID-19 patients, 310,000 event is there. So if you're weighing between the numbers is very rare, and you're going to have more blood clot if you don't vaccinate. If you're talking about the group of patients who actually develop this blood clot, they are actually younger. So we're talking about 40 to 50, 60. They are younger people, and there's no evidence to suggest that a lot of these people are diabetic. What we can see about this blood clot problem with AstraZeneca, they are younger patients, they are female. That is the study. Probably the risk factor for female to develop blood clot is also higher if you're talking in general. If you are talking taking contraceptive pills, that also bring us at a higher range of developing blood clots. Even if we are smoking, that even give you the higher risk of blood clot. So far, whether diabetic people more at high risk to develop this blood clot, there is no evidence for that.
Okay.
That's good news, guys.
And the bad news is if you don't get vaccinated and if you develop COVID-19, the risk of blood clots is what, 300,000 in a minute?
310,000 in 1 million.
Yeah, compare that to the...
Compare that to
like the average four in a million from the vaccine.
1 million.
Okay. Now, going for the actual vaccination, does it matter how well controlled their glucose is when they're going for the jab?
Like I told you before, Shao, vaccination is important. So regardless whether you're controlled or uncontrolled, you need to get the jab. You need to get vaccination because it saves you, save your life. The only thing that actually a hindrance for us is actually if the uncontrolled diabetic patient is not well.
So not well meaning?
So for any not well meaning to say they're having fever. I mean, like they can't go to the vaccination center if they have this problem. They are not taking orally well. They are tired. And then they have all the symptoms to suggest that they have this decompensation in their diabetic control. These are the people who are not advised for vaccination. They need to get admitted. They need to get treated. These are the only group of patients which I advise not to get injection. Because our diabetic patient is walking around with blood sugar of 10, 12, even 20. They are well. So these are the people who should get vaccinated.
Mm. So when you say for those who are not well, they are not advised for the vaccination at that moment, you mean, right? Until until they've cleared up.
When they're supposed to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Until they've cleared up whatever the cause of the infection or illness is, then after that, they should get the jab.
Yes.
All right. After getting the jab, is there any possibility their blood glucose may spike temporarily? Anything to look out for?
Yeah. After getting a jab, most people experience this illness. Sometimes it's like a flu illness, sometimes just a fever, joint pains, sort of like you are having some flu illness. So like I said before, illness, any illness will cause a risk in your blood sugar. But usually it's only for a few days. You just need to check your blood sugar. I think everybody, even though they are not on insulin, they should have this glucometer available at home for them to check their blood sugar.
Mm.
They need to drink a lot of water. And please, if they have insulin, I know I always ask my patient to inject insulin on the tummy, but there are people who like to inject their insulin on their deltoid on the shoulder. Please avoid that injection site, the vaccinated site. And then if some of my patient has continuous glucose monitoring, it's a sort of device that you put actually on your arm to measure your blood glucose so you don't have to prick. So they usually take put that on their arm. So please avoid that vaccination, please.
Mm.
That's all.
Okay.
I think that's all for the diabetic.
Okay. I just want to kind of cycle back again for people who have been diagnosed with diabetes. During this current, with the movement restrictions, are there challenges for your patients going for checkups? Any word of advice for them?
All right. Usually, the concern was they are not won't be allowed to actually cross the border. But I will ask my patient to actually show the police, show the people there that they have appointment. So far, this shouldn't be a problem. I have my patient over in KL because they move around. So they also can come back. There's no problem about going to healthcare facility if you really show that you are in follow-up. I think that shouldn't be any problem or any excuse for a patient not to get a health checkup for that.
Some people are scared, though, of going to the hospital during this period.
Yes. Yeah. So in our hospital, we have this VC meeting. You don't have to come and see us. You can actually contact your doctors whether they are available for a VC conference. And then the doctors can actually arrange for the medication to be to be sent to them. Even now, even before COVID, I have patients who live about 100 kilometers away, 60 kilometers away, and they are all patients. Our pharmacist actually posted out the medication for them. It can be done. If you can order through Shopee, of course you can order medication from your pharmacy.
Mm.
But you need to actually ask for help. If you don't ask, you don't know all this thing. Okay, because we have all this facility and services even before the COVID time.
Okay. And, you know, movement restrictions do make it hard for people to go out and do their activities and exercise. Do you have any tips to help people cope and continue their physical activity routines even when there are movement restrictions?
Yeah, Xiao, actually, in a way, this is a blessing in disguise. We spend more time with our family. So this is
the time. We also eat more, Dr. Meeza.
that's the worst part. Okay. Ask the family members to do the exercise together. So even for me, I really have rarely have spare time to go out or even to do on step board for exercise. But there is, you can go to the YouTube, you type sitting exercise. You can do exercise even at sitting. And my patient always say, Dr. Meeza, duduk saja. You can't reduce your weight, you can't reduce your calories. So I showed them, with doing this exercise, sitting exercise, for 20 minutes, you can reduce about 200 kilocalories. So the numbers is very important. 20 minutes, 200 kilocalories. You can even do that watching Netflix. So we need to do to find something that we are willing to do every day. Not everybody can do aerobics or Zumba. So find an exercise or a routine that you are comfortable of doing it. Be it 20 minutes, but do it every day. Mm-hmm. So I have an 80-year-old Mati who's doing the sitting exercise. You can, even for elderly or frail people, they can do that. And you need to enjoy doing that. So you can actually forget about all this routine that you don't like. You choose the things that you like. Or you can do gardening, grow your own veggie. The most important thing is to mobilize. You does not need to run, but you need to mobilize around the house. That also will help. I mean, I don't mind watching Netflix 2 hours, 3 hours, but do the exercise while you're watching the TV.
All right. And a final word on diabetes and COVID-19, Dr. Meeza?
All right. Please think about being a diabetic and you need vaccination as something very important. Vaccination as a skill. You are, as a soldier, you are fighting a war out there. You need a skill. How to combat, how to use all this machine gun, how to use all this bomb. So you need to get vaccinated to teach your body to actually having all this skill. But on top of that, you need to wear all your masks, your shield to protect you from COVID-19. It doesn't matter whether you have bad or good sugar control. It's never too late to get it in control.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Meeza. I've been speaking to Dr. Meeza Hirianti Zakaria, consultant endocrinologist, talking about diabetes and COVID-19. And the key, good glucose control, starting right now, right this second, if you can. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.